The Rhythms of Rest, Commentary for the August 28, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. This commentary is the chapter A Circumceptum Rhythm from my book Creation, Myth, or Majesty. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. Jews, Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Churches of God, and several others find a special sacredness in setting apart the seventh day, commonly called Saturday, for worship and reflection. One of the reasons for doing so is found in Exodus, where we are reminded to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. In this passage, this seventh-day worship is linked to the concept of a six-day creation, followed by a seventh-day Sabbath. Therefore, one could not separate the idea of Sabbath observance from a literal understanding of the Genesis creation account. However, Deuteronomy gives us an entirely different reason for observing the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. So which account is correct? Perhaps both are. Perhaps neither is. Perhaps there are far deeper reasons for a seventh-day rest cycle that are not even addressed in the Bible. A Google search for the word circumceptum will reveal over 11,000 entries addressing the idea that mankind and nature have some circadian-style biological rhythms that operate on seven-day cycles. This may shed light on an age-old question of where the weekly cycle comes from. Some have pointed out that while a year is roughly based on the Earth's transit around the sun, the month likewise is based on the moon's orbit around the Earth, and the day is based on the Earth's rotation, the week is based on no discernible celestial mechanics. They reason, therefore, that the only basis for a weekly cycle is the creation account in Genesis. But perhaps it is only an assumption to believe that such a cycle must be based on the movement of planetary bodies. What if the cycle is hardwired into us? What if the circumceptum cycle is something our biology demands as opposed to a discretionary recognition of the creative acts of deity? At the very least, this might free us from a too literal interpretation of the Genesis creation account while still acknowledging the importance of a seven-day cycle of work and rest. This might also deliver one from a too literal definition of Sabbath observance as well. Few today take the extreme views that require that lights be turned on before Sabbath or they must remain off. Or if one wanted to carry a handkerchief on the Sabbath, it must be pinned to one's garments, so it could be considered a part of one's clothing, as opposed to an extra burden, which was prohibited. However, when one sees the Sabbath as fiat, to be understood and observed as opposed to simple recognition of what is, one might seek to define every aspect of that commandment in order not to fail in observance. But if the Sabbath is simply a part of what we are biologically, then those biological rhythms will instruct us regarding the boundaries of what we should or should not do. Perhaps this is what Paul meant when he wrote, "When Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them." Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Maybe the Sabbath is written on our hearts in the form of these circumseptan rhythms. When I look at Genesis and creation, I see music and poetry. Each day is like the stanza of a song with a repeated chorus of, "And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the first through sixth day." Like the song, the 12 days of Christmas, each stanza builds upon what has gone before. Throughout the stanzas of creation, we move from simple to complex. But within this overall theme, we have a parallel poetic development that appears to link the creation of the first day with the luminaries of the fourth, the sea and sky of the second day with the fish and birds of the fifth, and the dry land of the third day with the vegetation and animals of the sixth. The overall theme ascends like a simple line, while the interior theme is more like a spiral staircase. Both ascend to the pinnacle of creation, man. Everything is made for man. Man is made in God's image. Man is given dominion over everything. Even the Sabbath was made for man when God set it apart. Jesus affirmed this when he said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath," in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Perhaps rather than being a burden of obedience to be borne while watching the clock and counting the moments until one is free of that burden, at sunset, the Sabbath was instead intended to be a gift to enable man to address the needs of his circumseptan rhythms in a context he could understand. What a dramatic contrast the Genesis account must have presented to the people compared to the generations of slavery they had endured in Egypt. As slaves, they had little value beyond the labor they could perform. But Genesis revealed that they were created to rule the earth and everything on it. The Sabbath of Genesis also revealed that all should be treated equally. They had experienced inequality in Egypt, but the Sabbath reminder in Deuteronomy chapter 5 reminds them not to treat others the way they were treated. Foreigners, servants, and livestock were to enjoy the rest of the Sabbath too. Some who take a more literal approach to Genesis and the Sabbath would have us believe that God is sitting in heaven with nothing better to do than to watch the edges of the Sabbath, and if he finds transgressions, he takes his sharpened pencil and writes the names down on a heavenly naughty or nice list. His purpose for doing so is to build up a list of reasons to exclude the naughty ones from heaven. Sadly, some of those who watch the edges of the Sabbath so closely are also those who think nothing of waiting at someone's door until sunset to not miss a moment of being able to transact business. This perverts the meaning of the Sabbath. It was made for man to be a blessing and not a burden. Perhaps this was why Jesus freely blessed and healed on the Sabbath. The church leaders took a dim view of all the work he was doing on that day, but as Lord of the Sabbath, as Matthew 12, verse 8 tells us, he knew its true purpose. Unfortunately, too many of the gifts that God has given to man have been used to oppress and control either man or nature. This is true of the dominion man was given over the earth, and the same is true of the Sabbath. Many of us know how unpleasant this can be. We may have known or even lived with someone who is always pointing out our flaws to us, not with a desire to help us, but to control us through guilt. A too literal understanding of the Genesis creation account, beyond its poetic affirmation of man's harmony with the cosmos, can be construed by literalists as a tool for judgment and control as well. When we turn it to such dark purposes, it is hard to picture the angels singing for joy to the beautiful music of creation. Perhaps that is why God's first words of creation in the Bible were, "Let there be light." Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find this commentary and others like it in written form, as well as some podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.